Let us pray. God, we put our trust, our faith, our hope in you. We know that alone, we are incapable of doing much. We are powerless. But through your Son, Jesus Christ, anything is possible. We pray for that power to be at work in these gifts that we lay before you. We also lift up our gifts of time, our service, praying that you would open our eyes to those in need, that you would draw us together, and that in all things that the love of Jesus Christ would be made known to the entire world. We also pray today for those who are struggling and seeking, for any here who are seeking you, for any here who are struggling, wondering if they can make it through another day, for any who are facing something that seems insurmountable, those struggling with a health issue or a health concern, those mourning the loss of a loved one. We pray for your presence, that your moving of your Holy Spirit would truly lead us to be your hands and feet. We put all this in your hands, God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. So I mentioned earlier that my name is Pastor Adrienne Curtis, and I am one of the pastors here at Carmel United Methodist Church. And today is our second in a series of 4 weeks where we're looking at overcoming tough things. And so to start today, I want to start with a survey. We'll see how this goes. I want to invite you, pull your phone out. You have an opportunity to weigh in. I know, I'm telling you to pull your phone out. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. Really, like it's okay. Pull your phone out, and you're going to go to www.mentee.com. If you don't have a phone, that's okay. God bless you. You can just spend some time thinking and reflecting on this question, but I would invite you, go to www.mentee.com, and the code that we have, you want to enter 13114. 13114. That's it. Just go to that website, enter that code, and the question I have for all of you to ponder, if you could change one thing to make the world a better place, what would you change? One thing. And just to give you a heads up, your answer will be on the screen in a minute. So you might want to make sure it's an answer that you want everybody to see. But if you could change one thing, what would you change about the world to make it a better place? And we'll see what some of these answers are. That people would be more polite, world peace, poverty, that they would change poverty. I'm guessing you, well, I don't know, like maybe people would be better if we were all a little poor. Peace, tolerance, pollution, that we would eliminate that, kindness, that people would help the mentally challenged. Equality for all, eliminate hunger, more grace, peace between all religions and countries, more respect for opinions of others. Oh, magic balloons. I am so on board with that. Whoever put that. It said four-year-old. God bless you, whoever you are. Yes, magic balloons are the best. Oh, the code again. 13114. Thank you. It's descending. 13114 is the code. And we'll continue to, so many incredible answers. And as I look at this list, and we'll just continue to run this and scroll it for a few minutes, as the answers continue to come in, I can't help but feel a little bit overwhelmed. Like, that is a lot of stuff that needs changing. And we have a few answers that overlap, but actually almost all of you have different things that you're putting up there. Growth of courage and confidence. It's overwhelming when we look at this list, and we might wonder, what can we do? We feel powerless when we look at all of the things that are wrong with the world. Have any of you all ever climbed Mount Everest? It's it's possible. It really is. It's possible one of you had done it. But if you haven't climbed Mount Everest, there's a whole process for Mount Everest. You can't just one day go and walk up the mountain and be at the summit. It is so high at the summit that I believe it's like cruising altitude for airplanes high. And so you have to let your body acclimate to the different parts of that altitude. So they have four different base camps that you will start out at the first base camp, spend a couple of days, you'll move up to the next one, camp, move up to the next one, and then when you get to the final base camp, you wait and you watch and you get ready for the perfect window to try to make your final climb to the summit. And it's tough to find that window because the weather is unpredictable. So at any moment, it could change. And you could be waiting for weeks and weeks. And if you wait for weeks and weeks and that window never comes, and then winter comes around and they have their bad season, there are some people who make an attempt for the summit and have to turn around and go back. The people who do climb Mount Everest spend thousands of dollars. Many of them have sponsors that sponsor them in that climb. David Sharp was one of those climbers. David Sharp attempted to climb Mount Everest three times. His final attempt was in 2006. He worked his way up to that final base camp, and they had a window, and he left early when it was still dark, and made it within, you know, really close to the summit, and then started to really feel the effects of the cold, the altitude, the lack of oxygen. And he did what can mean dire straits for climbers. He sat down. When you sit down, you stop moving and you stop being, your warmth like kind of stops. It's many climbers, if you stop and you sit, that's the beginning of the end. And so he sat down and sought some refuge in this outcropping of rock. And meanwhile, it was a busy day on Mount Everest. 40 people walked past him to the summit. 40 people. A few of those people stopped and did say, "Hey, are you okay? Is everything all right?" And at that point, he kind of, you know, waved them on or made some kind of motion, but nobody stopped to actually check his vitals or check on him. Nobody offered to take him off that mountain. Not until 9 hours later, after they had made it to the summit, on their way back, finally some of the climbers stopped. They checked. And by that point, he was unconscious. They would have had to carry him off the mountain. It was too late. And his final resting place is at the top of that, so close to the summit. Ed Vistus is a climber. Vistus? He's a famous mountain climber. He's done 14 of the tallest peaks in the world, and he's climbed Mount Everest. He responded to David Sharp's death by saying, "Unfortunately, there are those who say, it's not my problem. I've spent all this money. I'm going to the summit. It's not my problem." We listed so many issues. All of you can think of one thing you'd like to change. But the biggest issue facing our world today, it's not poverty. It's not even hatred. It's all the great many people who say, "It's not my problem. I can't do anything. Why bother? Why even try?" Apathy and indifference is the worst problem we face. And we see that reflected in Scripture. In Revelation chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading from verses 15 through 16 in the New Revised Standard Version. And y'all have your phones out already, so you could go ahead and look it up on your phones. But in Revelations, the last book of the Bible, so very easy to find if you look it up, it talks about seven different churches, including Laodicea. And so I'm going to read that for you here. It says in chapter 3, verse 15 through 16, "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Spit you out of my mouth. Neither cold nor hot. The very definition of apathy and indifference. Not cold or hot, just there. The church at Laodicea, as I mentioned, was one of seven churches mentioned in Revelations. They struggled with apathy, but we continue to struggle with that same thing today. And in fact, I like how Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel put it, that apathy is, the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. The opposite of beauty is not ugliness, it's indifference. The opposite of faith is not heresy, it's indifference. And the opposite of life is not death, it's indifference between life and death. Apathy. It might be put a little bit differently by John Mayer in his recent blockbuster song that we're all just waiting. You know the rest of it, right? Waiting, waiting for the world to change. All of us waiting for someone else to fix what we could be fixing ourselves. That is apathy and indifference. This upcoming Tuesday is a big day. Y'all know what this Tuesday is. I'm hearing voting. Yes. If you're thinking voting, you're right. Anybody get any flyers in the mail? One or two? Or ten? yeah, there's a mayoral race and county elections this upcoming Tuesday. We had a midterm election last fall in 2018. And do you know that we had record voter turnout in 2018 for that election? Record turnout. Any guesses what that record turnout was in percentages? What percentage of people do you think showed up? If you were at First Service, you don't get to guess. 40? Okay, I hear 40. 30? 61? Maybe no? Okay, you ready? The actual amount of turnout was 47%. And that was record. In 50 years, they have not seen voter turnout that good for a midterm election. And it's not even half of the people who can vote. There are a lot of reasons that people don't go and vote. But one of the ones I hear most often is, what's my one vote going to matter anyway? Why bother? Why go and vote? I'm one of millions. It's not going to make a difference. It won't matter if I'm not there. Apathy, indifference. Why bother? Why try? It's not my problem. The church at Laodicea struggled with that same issue of apathy. And just to give you some background on this church, so that community of Laodicea was located in Turkey. So this was one of the church plants that had been planted when they had the missionary movement of the early church. And Laodicea was at the convergence of several rivers that went into the Lycus River. And this was a main trading port. So there were people who came from all around to Laodicea because there were jobs, there were lots of goods for trading, lots of things to buy. But even beyond that, it was known particularly for two things, which are mentioned in Revelations. It was known for its clothing. So it had some of the best clothes in the entire known world then. It was kind of like the Paris of that world, you know, where everybody wanted to go there for the fine clothing. And in particular, they had black wool that they were particularly known for that they would make. And in addition to that, because they had so much money and that there were so many people there who were richer, they were able to cultivate a number of doctors and pay for some high medical care. And In particular, they were known for their eye salve. So stuff you put in your eyes to make it healthier or to heal your eyes. They were known for that. And so here you have a city with the best eye doctors in the entire known world who can't see God. You have a city with the best clothes, the most beautiful clothing in that entire world, and yet they are not clothed in faith. They are naked before God. You have a place that has everything, and yet they are doing nothing, nothing to make the world a better place, to follow after where Christ was leading them. It's a tough passage for Laodicea, and I think it's interesting. If you look at that map up there, Laodicea was actually between two cities, Colossae and Hierapolis. From Colossae, there was a stream that was a cold water stream that flowed towards Laodicea and kind of converged right there at that city. Out of Hierapolis, there was a hot water stream that bubbled up and flowed down to Laodicea. And so, literally, Laodicea was neither hot nor cold. It had both of those things mingled there. And so the writer of Revelations uses this physical truth to convey a spiritual truth. Not only are they lukewarm in their water, but they are also lukewarm in their faith. And it's pretty disgusting imagery, and I will spit them out. So I'm imagining in my head, have you ever had ice-cold mashed potatoes? Mashed potatoes are not meant to be ice-cold. My kids can be so dying of thirst. They can be beside themselves in the desert of thirstiness in our car, and we keep water bottles in the trunk. In the summer, when those warm up, doesn't matter how thirsty they are, they will not drink a bottle of that water. And here, we have that same thing. God doesn't want us lukewarm. Ugh. It's better to be hot or cold. Either be on fire for God, be angry with God, be whatever it is, but feel something, do something. It's better than being nothing, than being indifferent and lukewarm. It's a challenging passage for us to hear today. And really the question, I think, for us, as the question was for them at that time, is how do we overcome that? How do we move towards being on fire, doing something about the world around us? I've been inspired by Karen McTaggart's story. Karen is in our office here at the church. And so if you come by during the week, you'll see Karen in the office. And she's had a number of challenges. And so I asked her to share with us some of the ways that she persevered through the tough times and kept going. So I want to show you her testimony now.
My name's Karen McTaggart, and you may have seen me around the church here because I work in the front office. In October, I will have been here 19 years. So going through the divorce was probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to go through. And there were times when I just wanted to give up and not go on. There were days when I was going through the divorce that I laid in bed and just was shut off. And after going through that, I realized that wasn't what God wanted me to do. People kept telling me I'd be stronger because of that. And I really wanted to slap a few people upside the head when they said that, because I didn't want to hear that at the time. But in 2011, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I realized that was going to be a hard thing to go through, but I also realized that I had the strength to do that because God would carry me through it and give me the strength. And I was fortunate enough that he surrounded me with amazing people, that if I was losing faith or if I wasn't having the strength to carry on, God put those people in my presence. And I'm surrounded by people who have gone through things way more difficult than what I've gone through. And it's a constant reminder of how God carries us through good times and bad times. I was reading a scripture today that reminded me, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. I can show people that going through difficult times, that you can get through these things, that God always has your hand, and when you're too weak to walk through it alone, he's there to carry you through it. So I know I can get through this. This is just another journey along the road, and God will see me through this.
Alone, we are powerless. But I love what Karen says. It's the power of God that sees us through. It's God who gives us the victory. I love how honest she is that some days she just didn't want to. She didn't want to get out of bed. She didn't want to keep going. And we've had those days, right? Those days where you just don't want to anymore. But we, through the power of God, have the ability to overcome. The ability to find courage to keep going, to fight for what is right in this world. Do you all hear about, they're putting out some bumper stickers now that are blank. They're for people who don't want to get involved. No, not good, right? Well, there are too many of us who are blank bumper stickers. We just would rather do nothing than try and fail. And yet we have this reminder time and time again that through the power of Jesus Christ, we can overcome. We can overcome all of those problems. Whatever you were thinking of earlier, whatever problem that you were afraid to address or that you are struggling with right now in this world, that solution starts with each and every one of us. Taking that step, doing something. I'd like to think that if I were climbing Mount Everest, it's not ever going to happen, but if I were climbing Mount Everest, I'd like to think that I would have been one of the people who might have given up my climb to the summit to carry David Sharp down off that mountain. I don't know. I don't know if that's always the case, and we'd probably all like to think that. But we do have opportunities, other opportunities, to respond, to do something in the world, to be hot or cold, just not lukewarm. I think about Paul Rusabageda. Paul was an assistant manager at a hotel in Rwanda, and he had a very comfortable life, a family, and around 1994, as he was working there as an assistant manager, the civil war broke out in Rwanda, and there were thousands of people who were slaughtered. It was a genocide of people, women and children, all sorts of people. And knowing that that was coming, all of the peacekeepers from the United Nations, the worldwide community, when the going got tough, they all left. They didn't do anything. They left, leaving the country to fend for itself. And I have a clip, actually, from the movie Hotel Rwanda, which is a really great... This is based on a true story. This actually happened. And so I want to watch that clip now.
Wait! Peter! Thank you very much. Thank you.
No Rwandans.
What?
Foreign nationals only. Sorry, Father. Those were the orders.
But you can't leave the children behind.
Sorry, Father. We have our orders.
You can't leave them.
We can do no more.
Father, it is of no use. These men are not here. They are not here to help us. Please, there is nothing we can do. Get your people on the bus. I will take care of the others. It is of no use, Father. Please, Paddy. No. You must. No. To the hotel. To the hotel.
We'll take care of the kids, Father.
Please,
don't
touch
the camera. We have the right to film.
Don't film
me.
Go to the hotel. Go inside. Go inside the hotel. All of you. Yes, you can stay. Yes, we will take care of you. Go into the hotel. Go to the hotel. Go inside. Go inside the hotel.
Please, people, let's go inside.
Out of the rain, please.
Within 4 months, 800,000 people were killed. Paul Rusabigeda could have escaped. He had the means. He could have brought his family to safety. He could have said, not my problem. And instead, he fought to shelter all of those people in the hotel, some close calls, risking his life and the life of his family. And by the end of that time, 1,260 people were saved because he opened up the doors and sheltered them. Because he said, you know what, maybe I can do something. Maybe I can make a difference right here. We have a choice. Better to be hot or cold than lukewarm. But when we are hot, when we depend on the power of God, we have a God who comes through, who brings power. Amazing things. And today, as we take communion, we're reminded that we have a God who, looking into our broken world, God could have said, not my problem. God didn't have to come. And yet, through Jesus, on the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took the bread, he blessed it, he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, he blessed it, he gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts through Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on those of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and drink. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ that we may be for the world, the body of Christ redeemed by your blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. By your Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. And when we share in the bread, we share in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is our sharing in the blood of Christ. What that means is we accept that blood, but it also means that we get a little bit riled up and shed a little bit of our own blood for the sake of God's kingdom as we follow Jesus. I want to invite our servers to come forward. And as they come up here, in the Methodist Church, we practice what is called open table. That means that all are welcome. We believe it's Jesus's table, and Jesus never turned anyone away. So young or old, member or non-member, all are welcome. And we'll have two stations up here. We'll have one station over here to the right. And another station over here to the left. And then Rebecca and I will be in the back with the gluten-free elements if you need gluten-free. And you are also invited, there's a prayer station back there with candles. If you feel so led, one of those issues, those problems in the world, you might want to reflect and pray on that and come light a candle. You're welcome to do that. And so the table is set. Come whenever you are ready. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrived safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity, and in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture out on wider seas, wilder seas, where storms will show your mastery. Where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes, and to push into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. Amen. Amen. As we go out today, do something. whatever it is that needs to change, you have the power. Through Jesus Christ, we have the power to do the amazing, the impossible. So go now, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.